Oh, first, I want to, before we start our talk, I noticed that there are a number of mothers of members who are visiting us today, and I just wanted to say how happy we are to have you. You have raised remarkable, wonderful children that have come to the spiritual life, and it's in large part through your efforts that they're here. So thank you for coming, and thank you for bringing your children to Ananda. One of my favorite quotes of Master from the autobiography is, "The reason most people don't advance spiritually is they lack a sense of spiritual adventuresomeness." So when we want to embrace the search for God, and unless we embrace it, we will not have the momentum to carry on till we reach the goal of self-realization. Unless we love it, we'll fall by the wayside early on or some point along the way. As long as we are doing it for any motive that isn't pure, we won't be able to keep it up. But to embrace it, to love it selflessly, this is the key. And how do we do this? And what I'd like to talk about this morning are several things that we don't embrace, the aspects of the spiritual life that we go, oh God, do we really have to do that? And why, if we can embrace those things, the things that seem the big drawbacks of the spiritual life, and they're virtually the same in all of us, if we can embrace those things and see them through to the end, then we find what we're looking for. And the first thing, from whether you're just picking up the spiritual life, we have 6 or 7 people here visiting with us this week are here for the first time, and we welcome you. But if you're just picking up the spiritual life, or if you've been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years, it's the same. It's putting yourself in harness. It's saying, I will take on the mantle of self-discipline and self-control and self-sacrifice. And what fun is that? And yet we have to realize that it's in doing that that we get control of the likes and dislikes. If we can say, oh, I don't want to do that. You remember the story of there was some wedding and Master handed a woman a red rose. And she said, oh, I wanted a pink rose. And he said, what I give, you take. And if we can accept, you know, the word religion, the root of it is in Latin, to bind, religare. The root of yoga, it's linked with the word yoke, to yoke together. And of course, ultimately, it's union with God. But to bind, to yoke. And the ego doesn't like this. It wants to be free. But we need to understand that the freedom we're seeking only comes from getting in harness, because then we have control over the fluctuations, the likes and dislikes, the pushing away, the moving towards. And so if we can understand, there was a saying that I heard many years ago, if you don't do what you want, you can do as you like. And if you're only bound by what you want, you're bound. That's true bondage. But if you can say, I take on the discipline, the harness of the spiritual life, because I believe that the end of that is freedom, then you can embrace it. Then you can take this up with a sense of adventuresomeness. Let me just try and see what happens. Let me just embrace this. And so if we embrace the discipline, it leads us to freedom. And that's something we all want. If someone would come up to you and say, would you like to be ultimately free, or would you like to be always playing, you didn't like what was for breakfast, or you didn't like what someone said to you in the line, which would you choose? You choose freedom. So that we can embrace. And if we understand by picking it up from self-discipline, from self-restraint, self-control, we end up with freedom. Another thing that is very hard. It's not something we embrace, and it's something that we've been quoting quite a lot in the last several weeks because I think it's made a big impact on everybody. Jyotish just quoted it from the Nyaswami Vows. I no longer exist as a separate entity, but offer my life unreservedly into thy great ocean of awareness. Well, we don't want to not exist as a separate entity. What fun is that? I mean, we want to say, but I'm me, I gotta be me. But we need to understand that if we're only limited by self-will, if we're only limited by our own opinions of things, our own perspective of things, we've bound so tightly around us. Some years ago, I had a dream, which I've shared with some of you, in which in the dream, I was having an argument with another person, and I was so convinced I was right and that they were wrong, and I just couldn't make her come around to my way of thinking. And then at this point, another person entered the room, and it happened to be Nalini in the dream. And Nalini looked at me very sweetly and very without any judgment, and she said, "You know, Devi, you're not always right." And I was so upset because this was my dream, and at least I could be right in my dream. But no, we can be, we're wrong most of the time. You know, you try to understand another person, their motivation or anything. We don't, it's very, very difficult. So if we can just say, you know, I'm tired of being limited by making a shrine to my own perspective of life. You know, it's just wearisome. I want to give my life into the great ocean of awareness. So if you can embrace the fact that you're not a separate entity, that you're not always right, that your will isn't always what's going to win the day, then you open up to vast understanding and awareness, and you can see everybody's perspective. And you just, Swami has been saying over and over, the more bliss I feel, the more I look at everyone and I just love them because I can understand exactly where they're coming from. Maybe they're doing this thing that's foolish. Maybe they're doing this thing that's wise, but I understand it and I can see it from their perspective. So to embrace the fact that I'm just not all that important. And what that leads to is expanded understanding, greater awareness. And again, if we can just not be afraid, but this sense of adventuresomeness. Then another thing, and this is huge for all of us, tests. Because once we pick up the spiritual life, make no mistake. Swami said, people think that, oh, you know, God will clear away all the brambles from our path. Quite the opposite. He'll be harvesting the brambles, you know, cutting down the blackberries, lumping them right in front of us so that we have to walk through them. And if we take it as, I don't want that, then we miss the point. But if we can say, where is this leading? You know, I had a dream. I talk about dreams a lot because I learn a lot from my dreams. But this happened just about a week ago. It was very beautiful. And in the dream, I was going to visit Swamiji, present time. And I got to where he was. But everyone, he was in a room. I hadn't seen him yet. And everyone was acting very funny. And I knew something not good had happened. And so then I went into the room, and there was Swami sitting there, and he was in a wheelchair, and he had had a foot amputated, and he was very discouraged, and he was just looking down and just kind of slumped over, and everybody around him was just very discouraged, and Swami was saying, why did Divine Mother let this happen to me? Why did Divine Mother let this happen to me? And then he looked at me, and I knew he was expecting me to find an answer. And I just, in the dream even, I just went real deep inside. And then I looked at him and I said, it's a test of love. And then his whole demeanor changed and he was just radiant. And that was the answer. Every test is a test of love. And if we cannot, and he, it was like, he wasn't upset. He didn't care. He was in joy. He was in bliss. But he wanted to draw that out of me, that whatever test is, it's just a test of love. And don't get discouraged by it. Embrace it. And Master has said over and again, if you can just see the test through till the end, you'll realize it was the best possible thing that it could have happened. And so from the test, if we have the sense of adventuresomeness and see it through to the end, there comes joy. And of course we can embrace joy. Maybe we can't embrace the form that it comes in right away. Maybe it's a life-threatening illness or a death of a loved one or a divorce or whatever, loss of financial security. But if we can see it through to the end and see it's just a test of love, and then at the end, there's joy. And if we can just bring those two ends together, we save ourselves a lot of wear and tear, because we can just say, in this test, I know there's joy, and I will find it. And we see our friends living this right before our eyes, and it's a great gift they give to us. Another a thing that's hard to embrace, especially for those who have been on the path for a longer period of time, is we don't see the results of our meditation in the way we'd like to. Am I getting deeper? Am I getting anywhere with Kriya? Is my attitude changing? All these things. And it's hard to embrace that. It's hard to embrace a sense of failure, a sense of maybe I'm not making the right effort. I read a book some time ago, which I enjoyed a great deal. It was called The Boy Lama. And it was one of, I'm always attracted to stories of how a great Tibetan Lama dies and then they go to find his reincarnation and it's a little child. And this was a story written by a woman, true story, who had been kind of a jet set lady, very worldly life. And then she goes on a Buddhist retreat, Tibetan Buddhist retreat, and she meets this Lama and she just gives her life in discipleship to him. And then he dies. And she's feeling utterly bereft. And then they find a little boy that they believe is his incarnation. He's a little Spanish boy. His parents were also disciples. And so she goes to see him. He's about 2 years old. The last time she had seen her guru, he was very ill. He had heart disease. And he was leaning on the arms of two disciples because he couldn't walk. And then she saw him, and she was feeling such pity and such sadness to see him like that. And he pushed the disciples away, and he started dancing, and he said, "I'm okay, I'm okay." And so she went to see this little boy, 2 years old, and he didn't recognize her at all. He didn't look at her. He didn't acknowledge her. He didn't say anything. And she was thinking in her heart, "I guess I'm just not a good enough disciple. I guess, he doesn't care about me." And then he was leaving the room, and she was just sort of sitting there very discouraged. And then he turned around and looked at her, and he said, "I'm okay, I'm okay." And he started dancing. But it changed her life, obviously. But just to understand that even if we feel, I remember a friend of mine said once, if all the disciples are running a race, Master's disciples are running a race to God, maybe I'm the very end of the pack, but I'm still running. And if we can understand, starting off from the point, I don't know if I'm making progress, I don't know if I'm worthy, look at all the mistakes I've made, look at all the times I haven't gotten up for morning meditation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You fill in the line of why you're not, the list of why you're not a good disciple. I have my own list. But if we can understand that, if we say, but what have I given? I've given my loyalty. I've given my dedication. I've given my commitment. And these I know I have done. And so no matter what progress you make, don't worry about it. The result of it is, but I am committed. I am here, Lord, however ineffective I am. And that's, again, if you can just hang, you can embrace that. I love the fact that I have hung in there through thick and thin. And I remember many, many years ago, it was probably 70 or 71, in the early years of Ananda when it just got started, it was when the yoga movement was just starting in America. And at that time, many Indian yogis were coming over. And this was the days before big organizations had started around them. They were, Satchananda came, he had one or two people with him. And some of them just came alone. But they were the real thing. And I remember one yogi came, I don't remember what his name was, but there he was, and he was giving a satsang. He spoke some English, and he took questions. And for some reason, I don't even know why, I just asked the question, it came out of me, and I said, how do we find the kind of sustained energy that will keep us on the path for our whole life? And his answer puzzled me. And I think there's layers and layers of depth to it. He said, never compare yourself to anyone else. And again, when we compare ourselves, it brings the focus to us. I'm not good, or I'm better, or I'm about on the same level, whatever it is. But if we don't compare, but just say, I'm committed, I'm loyal, I know I am. My dedication is there. That we can embrace, and not to look and see where anybody else is in the race. You can't tell. You can't tell at all. And so don't even worry about it. Don't worry about where anybody else is, unless they trip and fall and you can give them a hand up. That's a good thing. But other than that, you just keep on. And if we can embrace it that way, it gets rid of the self-discouraging and self-defeating tendencies. And then finally, how do we embrace the fact that we don't feel God's love and God's presence, as Jyotish was talking? How do we get past that? How do we see him behind the moonbeams? Master said something so beautiful. He said, increasingly, I see that God is seeking us more than we are even seeking him. And that's such a wonderful thought to embrace. If we forget about, but I haven't found you, if we can always remember, he is seeking us, he loves us, and wants us to find him more than we ever can realize ourselves. And I read something else that was just astonishing. Master said, he said, I asked God, why did you make creation? And God said, because I wanted to share my joy with many. I had no one to share my joy with. But when I made creation, I placed a condition, God said, on myself. I would have the same yearning for man's love that man has for fulfillment in outer things. And so Master said, isn't it a grand thought that God has imposed the same exile on himself as we have? But what he is yearning for is our love. That's all. And so if we can embrace that, just if we can see at the end of all our efforts, all of our confusion, all of our tests, God saying, come home. I have been waiting for you since I created you. And then if we can find that love in our heart, because it's there, it's who we are, it's the essence of our being, to say, oh, I embrace this. I embrace your love for me, because it's the only reality there is. Sri Yukteswar, in The Holy Science, which is a very difficult book to understand, he just goes into the esoterica of Indian Vedic philosophy. And you have to be there to understand it, I'm afraid, for as far as my efforts to understand it. But then he says something so simple. He says, it is the natural love of the heart which is the principal prerequisite for the holy life. And without that, we cannot take one step towards salvation. So the natural love of the heart, we don't have to know the innuendos of all the Yoga Sutras. We don't have to know the different levels of the astral kingdom. Maybe we will one day, but it's not a prerequisite for the holy life. The natural love of the heart, the joy that we feel when we open our heart up to another human being, to a plant, to an animal, to the sunlight, to the world around us. And so if we can say, I can do that. I love to love. I love to share that joy with others. What am I afraid of? Why do I hold back? And so if we can see how we can embrace these things, we can embrace joy and love and freedom and expansion of awareness and self-forgetfulness. What else do we want? And so instead of looking at it, it's hard, I can't do it, there's so many obstacles, hey, I embrace this path. I embrace the spiritual life. It's what I want. And in the end, I will know God's love. And then that's the fulfillment of all creation. When one soul, think about it, when one soul finds God, whoever it may be, that is the fulfillment of all of creation. And when we come together in these wonderful communities such as we have, and all of us are opening our hearts to that yearning, trying to get rid of self-will, trying to forget the self, trying to deal with our tests with courage, think of the great, great joy that emanates from the collective effort of all of us opening our heart to embrace the search for God.